Hi, everyone. Welcome to Lab Medicine's podcast series. My name is Kelly Swales, and I'm the web editor for Lab Medicine Journal. Today, I have Dennis Ernst. He's the executive director at the Center for Phlebotomy Education, and he's going to talk a little bit about nurturing employees.
This is a real pet subject of mine. You know, every manager wants a stable workforce. Every manager wants a staff with longevity. Every manager wants people who love their job, who take their job seriously, and want to be with the company for a long time. Turnover is one of the most expensive and unnecessary problems that plague laboratories, and here's the problem. Most managers in clinical settings were never taught how to manage. They rose up the ranks into management positions because they were good technically. And then when it comes to managing a staff, they don't have the tools and the skills they need to make sure that staff is happy, satisfied, getting what they need to be long-term employees. And it's always been a problem with pre-analytical staff. Recent salary surveys by some of the publications show a turnover rate in laboratories of between 15 and 20% in the pre-analytical staff. Some facilities have an annual turnover rate as high as 50%, and I don't have to tell you how expensive this is to manage. They're constantly bringing on new staff, and training a staff is expensive, only to lose them after 6 months because something was missing that kept them from loving their job and embracing their work. So how do we fix this? I think in order for managers to assure a staff that's stable over time, they have to take a good solid self-assessment. They've got to look at themselves and say, am I modeling the behavior that I want my staff to mirror? What is it that I could be doing that's keeping me from having a good, stable workforce? What am I not providing my staff? Do I set a good example? Okay, now I want you to answer these questions. Am I on time? Do I act professionally? Do I dress professionally? Do I lead or do I threaten? Do I build a team or do I demand a team? See, these are important questions and we have to look within first. Am I setting forth performance expectations during my new employee orientations? Do I infuse professionalism into new employee orientation? Do your employees hear right up front these words? Our laboratory is a professional workplace, and we expect new employees to act professionally. So do we model the behavior that we expect? If not, then you're holding your staff to a higher standard than you do yourself, and that breeds discontent and disrespect. And how do we hire? Do we hire everybody who walks in the door and fogs up a mirror just because they want a job? Or do we weed out applicants who we anticipate are not either going to motivate or be motivated by the rest of our staff? You know, I know we need to fill positions, and I know the department doesn't function properly when it's understaffed, but it doesn't function properly when it's staffed with people who are bad fits either. So we have to be really selective when we interview and when we hire. There's one HR professional who wrote, "Ideally, a candidate should only be hired after it is determined that employer's business needs and the applicant's motivational needs are a good match." That makes perfect sense. So ask yourself, am I weeding out people who I know won't thrive and who I know are going to go through that revolving door just like everybody before them? Or am I hiring for longevity? Am I hiring only those that I know are going to be good fits with my existing staff? And if I've got a staff of phlebotomists that are running off my good employees, my good new hires, then I got another problem, don't I? And that's a whole nother subject. What that means is we've got to weed out those who are already in the house if we have any hopes of bringing in people who are good, long-term, satisfied employees who raise the standards of those around them. How about your evaluations? Could that be contributing to short-term employees? Do your evaluations have positive or negative undertones? Do you ambush employees with negatives? You know, no employee should come into an evaluation and be surprised by either the good things or the bad things. They should all know exactly what to expect. If they come in and they hear good things for the first time, well, there's a problem right there. And if they come in and they hear bad things for the first time, that's just as much of a problem. So let's communicate successes and failures year-round, not just at the evaluation. Every evaluation should discuss the strengths of the employee as well as their weaknesses, but make sure you end every evaluation session by commenting on a positive aspect of the employee's performance. But don't make it appear obligatory. It needs to carry the employee out of the office feeling good about the experience, or at least not defeated. Here's a good way to guarantee short-term employment: discipline unfairly and inconsistently. See, here's the thing. Nobody wants to work at a place where they don't know if the law is going to be applied to them or not. So make sure you discipline everybody consistently and fairly. You know, when you discipline, you're reinforcing your investment. Someone once said, if they're worth keeping, they're worth correcting. So offer assistance to help the employee overcome any problems. When disciplining your employees, make sure that every employee knows that you adhere to this management maxim: if they're worth keeping, they're worth correcting. We did a survey on our website, phlebotomy.com, once, and we asked this question: what single attribute do you wish your supervisors would improve upon? And out of a dozen or so choices, including trustworthiness, professionalism, decision-making, technical knowledge, you know what the one single attribute was that most phlebotomists wishes their supervisors would improve upon? Recognition and appreciation. So ask yourself, where do I stand in this regard? Am I recognizing my staff? Do they know I appreciate them? If not, they're going to go look for an employer who does recognize and appreciate them. Well, let me just wrap this up by summarizing how you can motivate your staff. You can't. All you can do is identify what it takes for them to motivate themselves. See, you've got to provide their currency. Everybody has their own currency. Maybe it's recognition. Maybe they want respect. Maybe it's money, although that's way down the list on what generates a long-term employee. Maybe it's ownership in their position or in the decision-making process. Maybe they want more responsibility. Maybe it's education. Maybe they want a professional working environment. Whatever it is, find out what every member of your staff wants and needs to be happy in the workplace. If you're serious, really serious, about nurturing long-term employees, you cannot neglect this important strategy. Find out what it takes for every member of your staff to be motivated, to be happy, to adhere to policies, to respect authority, all of those things, and provide it. There's any number of ways to provide all of these attributes. Find out what they are and make sure you're providing them. So be creative and solicit the assistance of other managers, maybe the human resource staff even, or even other phlebotomists. You know, it takes more time than it does money to implement creative strategies that motivate a staff. And be prepared to invest in dialogue and creative brainstorming. But don't expect immediate results. These things take time. See, what we're trying to do here is create a team. Everybody loves being part of a team. And if you can find everybody's motivators and nurture their longevity through these motivators, you are much more likely to get a cohesive team, a cohesive staff who is there with you for the long term.